We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and we're talking today with Dennis Butler, director of the Riley County Police Department. This week, the law board met on Monday, and it was actually not a huge meeting. Once you get budget done, it feels like everything else kind of goes smoothly after that the rest of the year. But there was some interesting data that was shared at the law board meeting this week, including on the use of force and some interesting numbers that were put out there. And I wanted to talk to you here a little bit more in depth about that today, and kind of what how you interpret some of the data that was presented at the meeting, because it kind of showed a little bit of an uptick in use of force. Not a huge uptick, but a slight uptick.
Yeah, this type of data and reporting could really take up a couple of hours to try to present it and answer questions so people can understand it. I think it's important for your listeners to know a couple of things first. The majority of police departments and sheriff's offices that I'm aware of don't even publish this data. Many of them don't collect it as in a detailed way like we do. Part of that is because of accreditation standards that we have agreed to meet. But even if they do collect it, they don't necessarily publish it. So we do this on an annual basis, and the report is on our website. If anybody wants to go read it, they can. It is very intense reading. So we collect data on all of the applications and incidents of force. What is the difference? So we could have 100 incidents. In other words, we're at the scene of something and force is used. But you could have officers use different types of force during the same incident. So that's why there would be more applications. So I share that in case somebody wants to go look at the report. They understand that right of way. The other thing is that we have a variety of options that we use. And these are all used when an officer assesses the situation they're dealing with right in front of them. So they could encounter somebody who is resistive to lawful commands, or they're placed under arrest and told to comply, and they don't. So an officer has options based on the level of force that they use to try to control the person in a way that the person is not injured and the officer is not injured. Sometimes when those initial applications are used, it doesn't work. So they resort to different applications, usually an escalation. And they escalate until the resistance stops or the person is taken into custody and is under control, and at which time they're required to de-escalate. It's not a perfect science, but every application of force is reviewed by 7 levels of supervision before, and I'm the 7th level, to determine whether or not it was lawful, complied with our policy, and was reasonable. Oftentimes, we find that officers underuse force, in which case they sometimes expose themselves to injury because they're trying to de-escalate and they don't want to hurt somebody. And we do sometimes retraining and counseling over that. If we feel like there was a better option to use, it wasn't unlawful, it wasn't out of policy, or if it wasn't unreasonable, but maybe there's another level of force, more communication might have helped, we counsel officers on that. So there's a constant review of this. I think the most important thing, because when you look at the raw data, it does show disparities in force being used in citizens of color, who are persons of color, or whites. And the important thing to always remember when we look at these after-action reports about our use of force is it's the situation at that moment. And we look at the behavior of the person, the level of resistance that they display, and then the officers act accordingly. So unfortunately, to the naked eye and through the analysis that we do, it's hard to, well, it's impossible really to determine why those disparities exist. But we look at the behavior, and when we look at the behavior and then we look at the force used, that's what we analyze in terms of whether it was appropriate or not. I could really try to explain this in more detail and start rambling, and I think I already am. But I would encourage people to go and look at the report. It's very long. There's lots of data. There is some analysis attempted. But the final point I'll make is nationally, we are not aware of any methodology that can be applied to these kinds of situations and with confidence determine whether or not bias is being used in the force that's being applied.
All right. We have a caller here standing by with a question or a comment, so we'll put them through. Good morning. You're on In Focus with Director Butler.
Yes, thank you. I want to tell you how proud I am of you. I mean, people forget that when you were coming in, the five prospective applicants for your job all said no, including in, walked away. But you were brave enough to stand up and take on what I had apologized to you for accepting and what you were going to find. But thank you for all your efforts. Feel a lot better about our police force with your contribution. Well, what I'd like to suggest is you get together with the Police Benevolent Association and get the $50 Kansas State tag for the Police Benevolent Association so we can support the officers. And it's just like on a daily basis nationwide, the Police Benevolent Associations and other jurisdictions have the off-duty security officers available so that we can meet them on an off-duty basis instead of having to meet them in a police event in our lives. Hopefully that none of us ever have that. But I've noticed, whether it's in the church, after church, in the traffic or the coming out, to be able to meet those officers, neighborhood, it's an extension of the neighborhood policing event. You meet those officers that are a known expense at each event, and by being there, it expands our acquaintance with your officers. Thank you so much for all your efforts, and I won't have to apologize to your replacement when they come in to take over the force. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate all of your kind comments. I do want to point out, whether you have social media or not, if you have any computer access or if you read the local paper, we often have in there all of the events that we go to that are community outreach events. And I won't go through the long, long list of where we allow our officers to engage the community in those situations where it's not an enforcement event, but just coming up because of Halloween, we're going to have officers at the Sunset Zoo tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Spooktacular, and they'll be handing out candy. They're going to be next Friday night at the Aggieville Trick or Treat from 3 to 5 on Morrow in Aggieville, and also that same evening at the West Loop Spooktacular from 4 to 6. And then on Halloween day itself, evening, we're going to be at the Manhattan First Assembly of God Trunk or Treat handing out candy. And I could go on. You know, Brandon could tell you about all the events that we go to. But look for our food trailer, the RCPD food trailer, which we purchased and outfitted last year. We didn't get it out as much as we would have liked last year because of COVID, but we go to a lot of events that aren't our events. We were up at the Riley Pride Day a couple of weeks ago. We were up at the Randolph 4th of July celebration. Again, I could really go on and on, but those are the things that we do to try to engage our community in ways. Juneteenth is another example where it gives folks an opportunity to come up and talk to us. And what a better way, other than food or treats, do you attract kids and adults to come and just have casual conversation with us? I'm sure there's more that we can be doing, but those are some of our efforts. And again, I thank you for your comments.
Well, you know, and that's a good point there, all the community policing you've done here. And I know, there's been perception nationally here, especially among the Black and African American community, that, you know, they experience a lot different interactions with police nationally here, maybe not locally, but I know you've worked really hard to try to improve that relationship with those in our community here. And even though the numbers kind of show to the naked eye here, you know, a disparity here as far as use of force is concerned, I know that you guys are constantly working on that to try to improve whether there is bias and take action if there is an officer who's acting ill or not the proper way.
You know, you brought up a lot of things that I could comment on, Brandon. One of the things that I've said publicly is I can't, as the director, speak about what happens in other communities and say everything is okay, everything is perfect. Just like I can say when I know about things here that sometimes we could do things better. I think what's really important to point out, and I pointed this out earlier about the use of force report, is we are very candid and open in terms of the data that we publish, the analysis that we perform to try to explain what's going on. And that's not very common in law enforcement. You don't see that to the degree that we do that here. And that's all an effort to be open with our community and create those opportunities to have dialogue about what we're doing here. The one of the things that we work on constantly, and you've heard me talk about it, is legitimacy in the eyes of our citizens. In other words, just because we have the authority to do something or take an action, that doesn't mean we should. And if we are overzealous, if we are hardcore about how we do things, after a while you lose the trust of your citizens. And that's happened in some communities. I've pointed out traffic stop data in the past, where in 2019 our officers performed over 9,000 traffic stops, but they issued less than 3,000 citations and the rest were warnings. A lot of people don't know that. And so the idea there is, yes, we see behavior or driving behavior that might violate the law, and we stop people and contact them, and then the officer has discretion to determine what the best course is. Some places, you know, there's not as much discretion being used. About the only discretion we don't allow is in driving under the influence. You know, if you find somebody under the influence behind the wheel, they're arrested because it's a huge safety issue. I really could go on and on, but that communication and openness and willingness to share stuff both in person or on our website or at the law board is critically important.
All right. Well, we got to take a break here, but we'll continue in focus in a moment. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.